You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Richard Boxall.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest European Tour Race to Dubai show, where Mikael Lundberg secured his first title in 5 years with a putt from over 45 feet.
This is just a fantastic feeling. I wasn't striking the ball that great with my irons, but I kept the ball in play, and my short game was fantastic, especially putting now today.
The Swede will join us shortly to reflect on victory in the Lioness Open, which came in a sudden-death playoff against Bernd Wiesberger.
I mean, he made a great putt, you know, nothing against it. He hit a really good putt and deserves it, and has been in a winner's circle for a long time, but, you know, I lost it a bit.
Richard Boxall is alongside me to reflect on the action in Altenbruch and to preview the second major of the year, the US Open. And also joining us to help us weigh up the main contenders at Pinehurst is PGA Tour radio show host Matt Adams.
What's happened here is that we have put back into the players' hands the fact that they have to make decisions. So I think you're going to see a varied leaderboard made up of those that are bombers and made up of those that are surgeons around the putting circuit.
Hello, Richard.
Hello, Robert. How are you?
I'm good. I'm invigorated after a tremendous event in Austria.
It was a good event. I was watching bits and bobs of that, watching you appear on TV and then listening to you commentate. I mean, you were around everywhere.
I tell you, it was hot.
I bet it was.
Roasting.
Rob, can you just tell me why there was only 31 players under par in Austria?
Because the golf course was running fast. You couldn't guarantee to keep it on the fairway because sometimes the little bends in the fairway would mean you were running out. It was hard to do that. And if you did get in the fairway, the greens were firm.
So you had to shape it off the tee a lot more.
You had to shape your ball, and because of the firmness of the greens, although they were slightly softer the final day, you know, sometimes players were hitting really good shots and they were still running through at the back edge. So it was a really tough test. It was good. Right. Did you enjoy the golf?
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I was amazed that Michael Lundberg's putt reached the hole on that playoff hole. There was a caddy, and while I was watching it on the TV, obviously, there was a caddy standing there, and the hole was about probably, you could see about a foot of ground before the hole like that. And the ball went, as it got to the caddy's right shoulder,
limping to get to the right shoulder.
I thought, that's not there. And the next thing you know, came out the other side of his shoulder and it went.
Now, I'm very pleased to say that we're joined by the man who is the latest winner in the European Tour, Mikael. Welcome to the show. Did you think it was going to reach the hole?
Yeah, I knew it was pretty much impossible to leave it short. So as long as it went over the ridge, it's always going to go down. I had pretty much the same putt on the 7th, 2nd hole. So I knew how fast it was, and I played it a little bit low the first time, so I had a second go at it.
Did you think in your heart of hearts after a 76 in round 3 that it was all over?
Yeah, I did. I never thought I had a chance going into the last round. I was hoping that if I could play well, maybe top 3.
The funny thing is that you and Lee Slattery went out in the last 2 ball on Saturday and you both had bad days. Neither of you got it going and you both sort of dragged each other down. It was weird.
Yeah, well, the thing was, we played the first 2 days as well and the game was not that bad. It was just the putts didn't go in, the bounces were not on our side. It wasn't as bad as the score was.
When you went onto that 18th and played that playoff, did you really get a feeling of how much the crowd didn't want you to win?
Yeah, well, a little. They wanted him to win because when I hit my tee shot, I hit the green far away. I knew where it was, but he hit it quite a good tee shot. And the crowd went mental and they really cheered on him. And I told my caddy, just because of that, I'm really going to hold this one. And I was hoping, and it went in.
Mikael, listen, flying the flag for the over-40-year-olds, it's nice to see an over-40-year-old winning, but do you go to a place called the gym? I mean, that was always a man's name when I used to play, but, I mean, do you have to go down there now?
Yes, I've been going to the gym 8 times in the last 2 weeks, so I'm trying to get back in shape, and it helps, not only physically, but I think it helps a lot mentally when you're feeling stronger.
Good man. So what's ahead for you now this summer, with the big summer coming up?
Yeah, I'm just going to chill out this week, work a little bit more with my teacher and then get ready for Ireland and Germany.
And then will you play the run-up to the Open Championship? Will you play France, Scotland? You're going to get in all those now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Fantastic, then.
So I will play them all.
That's brilliant.
Well, I'll see you in Ireland, Mikael. Not at the gym, but I will see you in Ireland.
All right, very good.
Brilliant. Okay, listen, it's a fantastic effort from you. A wonderful, memorable putt that you made in that extra playoff hole. Well done, Mikael. And we'll see you, Richard and I will both see you at the BMW.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Take care. Great to hear Mikhail in such great form. It was his first European Tour win since the 2008 Inteco Russian Open Golf Championship. A gap of 5 years and 316 days. Nearly 6 years. So, you know, at the age of 41, that's just a fantastic thing that happened to you. But amazing, no form coming into this week.
None whatsoever. You know, and it sometimes happens like that. I mean, after his first two rounds of, what was he, 67, 68, you must have thought, oh, where's that come from? And then, you know what it's like, you throw a 76 and you go, oh, I was waiting for that.
But went back to the school, got his card, you know, it's all brave stuff, isn't it?
It's full credit. I mean, you know, some people go to the school so many times, you actually think, you know, this isn't my game, this isn't for me. But after that 76 on Saturday, I think there was a massive recovery, 65, and to kick on and win.
Yeah, it worked out very well. And, of course, he beat Bernd Wiesberger in the playoff. The Austrian playing on home soil felt the hard work he put into his final round all went awry at the 16th hole.
I was happy to take the lead throughout the round and I had it in my hands. Tried to play smart and hit five bad shots in that hole, which cost me, obviously. I would have taken getting into a playoff at the beginning of the day, you know. I mean, he made a great putt, you know. Nothing against it. We hit a really good putt and deserved it and has been in a winner's circle for a long time, but, you know, I lost it a bit.
The good thing for Bernd is that second place was always going to be touch and go whether he qualified for the US Open. He did. He finished 60th in the world rankings. He's in Pinehurst. That's great. But he'd be kicking himself because with three holes to play, three pars gets it done.
He does, yeah. And the other thing I noticed, just to confuse me, was they swung the course round, didn't they? They played the nines the other way round.
Finished on the ninth, which today it goes back to its old way.
Does
but for
it?
The tournament, they finished on the par three ninth as the 18th.
So the seventh was the par five, which I saw his second shot
16.
Out of the bunker there. He knocked it left.
Yeah, 15 and 16 were 6 and 7, weren't they?
Yeah, but he knocked it left, and at that point I had to run my son to a birthday party.
That's right.
So did he bogey it?
He bogeyed 16. He went over the green, chipped back and missed.
Yeah, 7, then he got that tight 8th. Yeah, he knocked it miles right. Do you think that was deliberate off
the tee? No, because he put the arm out saying, that's gone way right. And he actually found the fairway. It was a long way.
Fairway.
Yeah, and then he had a wedge straight in, straight up the green.
Straight up the green, yeah.
Perfect line.
But he still will be kicking himself, though.
You know, he will.
He's Austrian and he wants to win the Austrian Open like he has done in the past.
And it was great because loads of people turned out, and obviously being an Austrian, the Austrian Open and an Austrian doing well, they wanted the Austrian to win. Everyone understood that, but it was really good. It made for a great atmosphere. And what about Lee Slattery? He played with Michael Lundberg for the first three rounds. Both had a nightmare, 76 on Saturday. Different story Sunday, though, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. 10 shots better. Well, 11, actually, for the winner, Lundberg. But for Lee Slattery, it was around a 66. He's won before on the European Tour. He's a good young player, Lee Slattery. And I always thought before he had his win, which was in Spain, I think that came, I always thought Lee Slattery would have won before then.
Well, let's see what he had to say.
You know, I got off to quite a good start yesterday, but, you know, just round the 10 there just killed me a bit. But, you know, I was saying just before that I just missed too many fairways yesterday, and you have to hit fairways around here. And if you don't, you've got to miss them in the right spots. And I seemed to hit the ball well yesterday, but just did nothing really right. So it was a frustrating day yesterday, but bounced back well today.
So well done to Lee Slattery, and perhaps that's going to be a big step up for his summer of fun on the European Tour. And another who left Alsenbrook feeling upbeat was American Daniel Im. A final round of 64 with 10 birdies, Richard. Yes, 10 birdies. He's the new course record holder.
I wasn't expecting 64 today, but I just kept grinding. You know, I made a double pretty early after being 2 under first four holes, which could have got me rattled a little bit, but I just kind of kept going. Just wanted to put in some good numbers in today. And I hit a really good putt on 18 to shoot 64 today, yeah.
Top 10, Richard, please, then, in Austria.
I'm going to give you 11, if you don't mind, because there was a tie for 9th, 10th and 11th, and that was Siwan Kim, Simon Wakefield, David Horsey, then you got Daniel Im, was tied with Eduardo de la Riva, and then tied 5th and 6th with Miguel Angel Jimenez and Fabrizio Zanotti. Lee Slattery, 4th on his own. 3rd was Joost Lauten, and then you had Lundberg and Wiesberger tied at the top at 12 under, and, of course, Wiesberger didn't make his 2 on the 18th. Lundberg did, and he was the winner.
Race to Dubai standings, please.
Okay, 10th spot, Robert, is Henrik Stenson. Jonas Blixt is 9th. Then you've got Sergio Garcia, Stephen Gallagher, Miguel Angel Jimenez, Victor Dubuisson sliding down a little bit, but he's still in 5th. Louis Oosthuizen, Jamie Donaldson's 3rd. Rory McIlroy's 2nd. And Thomas Bjorn is still leading the way, and by some amount of euros as well.
And top 10 world rankings, any changes?
Oh, well, I'll just read you through them, shall I? 10th spot, Jordan Spieth, Justin Rose, Sergio Garcia, then 7th is Jason Day, Rory McIlroy's just outside the top 5 at 6, Matt Kuchar is 5th, 4th is Tiger Woods, 3rd is Bubba Watson, 2nd is Henrik Stenson, and Australia lead the way, like they did in the Derby. Adam Scott
What about the European Ryder Cup points list, Rich?
OK, the top five from the world's points list that aren't already in are in this order. Rory McIlroy, Sergio Garcia, Luke Donald, Justin Rose, and the last one in, Martin Kaymer.
Martin Kaymer, so he's hanging on to that last spot. Tips-wise, Ewan Murray, in your absence, went for Miguel Angel Jimenez, who had definitely the moment of the week with the dance on the 13th fairway when he held his second shot. He finished fifth and, by the way, had three double bogeys on Friday, which killed him, really. Otherwise, he'd have won.
Well, he's still going, isn't he? Which tour does he play? Over 50 years of age.
He plays with youngsters as much as he can.
Yeah,
absolutely. He thinks like a young person. He acts like a young person.
And he isn't a young person.
And he's not a young person. And I went for Joost Luiten, who finished third.
Oh, well done, so, Robert.
A little bit each way money, you know what I mean? Now, just a couple of bits of news for you, Rory McIlroy's fantastic comeback in the final round of the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth not only won him that title, but last week also helped him win the Race to Dubai European Tour Golfer of the Month for May. Two more big names have been added to the field competing in the Aberdeen Asset Management Scottish Open next month. Ricky Fowler has declared that he wants to play, and it means that at least 23 of the world's top 60 will now be competing at Royal Aberdeen. And the other golfer to confirm his presence there is six-time major champion Nick Faldo. On the Canary Islands, Moritz Lampert of Germany won his second challenge to a title in the space of 3 weeks. One more, and he gets onto the main tour with a superb round of 63 on the final day of the Fred Olsen Challenge d'Espagne. And on the seniors tour, Spain's Santiago Luna, good old Santiago. He's a good egg, you know. You know him for many years playing European Tour.
Oh, no, I know Santiago.
Yeah, when he first came out, it was like Seve, wasn't he? The hitch of the trousers and the grip in the club.
He modelled his whole game on Seve.
Brilliant. And he's still going and playing well. Yes, six birdied holes and an eagled hole helped him card a 64, which, like Lampert, gave him a two-stroke victory in the ISPS Handa PGA Seniors Open in Essex. OK, it's time for us to look ahead with relish, I may say, to the second major of the year, the US Open Championship, taking place this week in Pinehurst number two. And I'm delighted to say that to help us look ahead is American PGA Tour radio host Matt Adams, who is an expert, basically, on all things American. Matt, how are you?
Good, Robert. Good, Boxy. How are you?
Very good. Really looking forward to Pinehurst number two as a US Open venue. You must be as well.
Yeah, I really am. It's such a unique venue, touched originally by the hands of Donald Ross, and since Corin Crenshaw came in. And interesting, they won't call it a redo. They won't call it a renovation. It is a restoration in official terms to bring it back to the form and spirit of Donald Ross. And I would dare say that they have succeeded. It is an absolute museum of proper golf. It's really going to be, I think, in a very exciting venue.
And what about scoring-wise, Matt, with the lack of rough? I know the greens present their problems to the players, but do you think we might see better scoring than as of late in the US Open?
I do, actually, Robert, but I think the obvious piece to the puzzle here is the rain and how soft the golf course is going to be. If they get it as hard and fast as they want it to be, then those same green complexes that you mentioned are going to provide the players with a number of puzzles that they'll be asked to solve throughout the course of the week. But they project upwards to a 50% chance on average per day, every day, of rain coming through, sometimes accompanied by thunder showers. So if that happens, clearly they won't be able to keep the golf course as hard and fast as they would otherwise want it to be. But having said that, they took out all of that Bermuda rough that you were familiar with back in 2005 or in 1999, and they replaced it with what they call sandy areas. These are waste bunkers in essence, but they planted this wire grass. They grow as many little bushes, and they're very, very dense. And what happens because of their root structure and because they're in a sand base is they become somewhat bulbous at the bottom. So when a ball is going towards the base of one of these wire grass, as I'm calling them, bushes, it tends to roll away from them. As a result, you tend to get lies in this primary, if you will, rough areas that you can play. So for all those reasons, yeah, I think that the scoring is going to be better at this U.S. Open than we traditionally see.
I'm interested in the dynamic of the wet weather. If they're getting a good douche of rain every day, that brings a lot more players into the mix as to who might win, as opposed to if it was just fiery for the entire week.
Well, the thing that I like about this golf course is I think it already naturally brings a lot more players into the mix. Then it's not just about who can bomb it off the tee, because so much of this golf course, and as you guys both know, requires a player to think. And I believe that in recent years, when the primary defense of a golf course in the eyes of the United States Golf Association was to grow the rough up to jungle length, and a player would get there and their only option was to pack it out sideways and then carry on from there. What's happened here is that we have put back into the players' hands the fact that they have to make decisions. And in the crucible that is a major championship, I think those decisions begin to swirl in a player's mind. Sometimes they make the right one. Sometimes they default to ones where they think they can make the shot, and it's really more than they can bite off. So I think you're going to see a very, very varied leaderboard made up of those that are bombers and made up of those that are surgeons around the putting surface.
Yeah, it all bodes very well for an exciting championship. Richard, in terms of European golf, who have you got your eye on that might do well?
Well, Rory McIlroy, obviously. I mean, he's winning the BMW PGA. But there's some new lads, you know, going out there. Goes Loughton, likes of, you know. I mean, I know you tipped him to win last week. I mean, wouldn't surprise me to see him have a top 10 finish.
What about the established ones that haven't won a major? You know, the Donalds and the Poulters and the Westwoods?
Well, yes, same thing, same pressure every time they go out there. But here's one. How about Miguel Angel Jimenez? I always thought he would win a major. I didn't think he would be carrying on winning at the stage that he's winning now. He could well do it.
Well, I tell you what, he is one man that is playing well and feeling good going into this week.
It's a good course. Now I hear that it's not rough, that it's going to be playing very fast. It's a golf course that you need to keep the ball in play all the time. And the main thing is like I always say, you need to keep calm, passing. That is the key for any tournament, and especially in the majors. And I think I'm hitting well, and I feel good, and looking forward for next week, yeah.
Is he a guy you love watching, Matt?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And I actually think that was an interesting tap there, because this is a golf course that welcomes the draw. So he can sling it off the tee here very effectively on a number of different holes. And we already know that if he's on form, if the putter doesn't sneak up on him as it has a tendency to do, then he can do very well around here because of his imagination.
His imagination is, at the age of 50, is unbridled. It continues to be like a youngster. And if you're mentioning that the draw bias is an advantage, it brings in Rory McIlroy, doesn't it, surely?
Oh, yeah. Rory McIlroy, I think, coming in would be one of the favorites in everyone's mind, without doubt. There's an element of head-scratching with Rory in terms of his consistency from one round to the next, but his overall performance just can't be argued on any grounds. It's very, very impressive, notwithstanding if someone would argue to say, well, there should be more wins than there is top 10 finishes. So be it. He still has a lot of top 10 finishes nonetheless. And so, yes, I would very much tap him as a favorite this week. You know, invariably when we do these shows and we have these conversations, we'll be asked the question of who do we have as our dark horse this week? And with everything that's swirling around the man, I'm inclined to say Phil Mickelson. But, you know, because you don't know which Phil Mickelson's going to show up. He hasn't shown particularly exceptional form as yet in 2014. And with the prospect of people in the government sniffing around his business, that it's a suggestion that he may have to work harder to stay even focused here at the US Open. So I'm not really sure what direction to go in that regard. What do you think?
Wait, do you know, I think this is one of the biggest weeks in Phil Mickelson's career coming up because, what, six or seven times he's been second? He lost out to Payne Stewart here. You know, Pinehurst has got the Mickelson factor, you know, the imagination around the greens and the short game genius skills. He's got all that stuff. And if he was to pick a venue that he might win his first US Open, I think he'd probably pick Pinehurst. I think this is a massive, massive week for Phil Mickelson. And, you know, I think he's the heart bet. I would love him to have a career slam. And if he was to go ahead and win, it would be a magnificent result. I think it'd be hugely popular, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. What do you think, Boxy?
I have to agree with both of you because I like both of you.
That's very nice.
No,
of you.
I do agree. I'm going to throw one in here, Matt. You ready for this? He's been playing very well. He comes from Scotland and his name's Stephen Gallagher. Keep an eye on him. I think he'll do well this week.
Why?
Defended number one in Dubai earlier on in the year. He's been incredibly consistent all year. I think he's certainly top 10. On our race to Dubai out here. And I think he's a player that's, he's won, what, three times? Should have won more, I think. And I think he's now one of these players that's going to develop a little bit later, age-wise. He's nearly 40 now. He's 39.
Like you, me and Matt.
Like you,
late developers.
Me and Matt. Late developers. Yeah. And I think he'll do well.
Listen, he's a very good ball striker. It's a ball striker's week. It always is the US Open. You mentioned Phil Mickelson as the American, maybe even an outsider because of what's going on in his life. It's complicated. Any other Americans that you think Matt might do well?
Oh, I think there's a slew of that could do well. I think you have to keep an eye on Matt Kuchar. I have a good feeling about Bill Haas, among other things. Bill Haas is going to be very motivated to make the President's Cup team for obvious reasons now. So I think you're going to see an uptick in his game. So I think there are a number of different Americans that are going to contend. But I also feel one of the interesting storylines for this U.S. Open, and I think it flows with the storylines of 2014 around the globe as yet, will be the performance of the young players. You know, whether they are from Japan, whether you're talking about play from any other country around the world, including the United States, these players are coming to this level of the game, the top tier, the European Tour, the PGA Tour, and they're not afraid. They are not afraid to go out and do with it. And it's remarkable. I can't think of another era during the history of this game where young players were able to contend against the veteran campaigners. But I can never think of a time when, as a group, there was such a fearless approach to the game. So I think that's going to be interesting as well. And I think that only contributes to my suspicion that the leaderboard will be a mix of veterans and young guns, those with short game prowess and those that rely upon the power game.
It's a very good point, Matt. Looking at some of the three balls that we're going to see over the first 2 days, McIlroy playing with Graham McDowell and Webb Simpson, who played well last week.
Webb Simpson, it's funny, you know, here he is, a former U.S. Open champion himself, and I still don't think Webb's game gets the respect that it deserves for how consistent he is. If you're playing alongside of someone that you have a comfort level with, someone that you've played a lot of golf with, someone who has a game that you're not sitting back in awe of and scratching your head and saying, well, I can't hit the ball as far as him, or I can't hit as close to him, or I can't putt as well as him, none of those things seem to be in place with that first group that you just read. So I think for Graham and for Rory and for Webb, it's a very comfortable start.
Another good group. I want to throw you in a European one, as we call it. One of them is from Thailand, but he plays a European tour. Miguel Angel Jimenez playing with Jaidi, who won in Sweden the other week. And Poulter, who's not quite made the Ryder Cup side yet. Maybe he will secure all that up this week.
Well, I think for Ian Poulter, the challenge for him starts at the tee box. If he has his resolve and he has his commitment, he certainly seems to be able to perform. But we'll see what Ian shows up at the first tee and if he has some control over his ball in that regard. But as far as Miguel Angel Jimenez goes, you know, the one thought that I have is the old cliche that the golf ball doesn't know how old you are. He has got to be right now one of the most popular players in the world just for everything that he represents. So I think he'll be well received here in Pinehurst.
Now, the crucial bit. Who do you think is going to win the US Open? Richard, I go to you first.
I'm not going for a winner. I'm going to go for my bet this week. It's going to be an each-way bet, and I think you should have a bet each way, which will probably play the first five, Stephen Gallagher.
But you think he can't win then?
I said he could win, but my bet is...
If the winner.
If anyone's listening... No, I'm not giving the winner. I'm giving an each-way bet for somebody. Matt, is that fair?
Not really.
All right, okay. You choose yours, and I'll just run through this list and have another little think.
I'm going to tell you who I think is going to win, but then I'll give you my second and third. I believe that Rory McIlroy will get it done this week. I believe Rory McIlroy will win this U.S. Open. Second place, I'm going to tap Luke Donald. And third, I'm going to go with Matt Kuchar. Those are my top three.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I find it hard to back against Rory with his win at the BMW PGA over here and the stack of top tens. If he gets off to a good start, his weekends have been sensational. I've got to think he's got to be the man to beat. A couple of weeks ago, I thought Lee Westwood was going to have a crack here. I thought after he won on the European Tour recently in Malaysia, it was all going to fall into place. He struck the ball superbly well at the Masters. Tee to green, he was sensational, which boded well for perhaps a US Open. And of all the four majors, you'd say for Lee, maybe that's the one that he might win. So I'm sticking him in there. I know he didn't play well last week in Memphis, but I'm sticking him in there as another runner. So I've got McIlroy and Westwood. I'm going with two. Say that again, Matt.
I said I'm afraid of the wedge out here for Lee.
Yeah, there's a lot of short game nous required around there. But I do think that Pinehurst, although the targets look big, actually the bit you're trying to hit it on is pretty small. And if you're a really good ball striker and you're on your game like he is, you know, he might be able to grind the course down that way as opposed to having to score all the time from around the greens.
Okay, my winner is, again, unlike you, Rory McIlroy. But then I think there's going to be a tie for second. With Ian Poulter and Jordan Spieth. There you go.
So you've got Ian Poulter...
And Gallagher thrown in there as well.
Oh, and Gallagher makes it just at the very end.
Yeah, so I've nearly named them in order. And if that does come in that order, I've not had a bet on it, I'll be ill.
Matt, The only thing I can glean from this little look at a sort of betting situation at this week's US Open Championship is that you, Richard, and myself will never, ever be rich men. Ever.
At least boxing is bold and fearless.
Matt, thank you very much for spending time with us, as always. I'm so looking forward to seeing Pinehurst in the flesh, I can't tell you. And I'll catch up with you Wednesday.
Very much looking forward to that, Robert. Boxy, thank you. I'll see both of you in person as well at the Open Championship, and looking forward to that.
All right, Matt, cheers.
Wonderful.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
You
cheers,
take
mate.
Care. What we haven't said, Richard, is who's not playing.
Well,
obviously, for injury reasons, Tiger Woods, Padraig Harrington failed to qualify. Thomas Bjorn pulled out neck and shoulder. And Richard Stirney's injured again. He's had a bad run with injuries, hasn't he, Stirney?
He has, yeah. Scott Langley's taken his spot. I'll tell you another one that got in. Tom Lewis holed a putt at Walton Heath.
Yes.
To get the last qualifying spot, 14th spot. to go to the US Open. And on that very horrible wet day, Danny Willett was the man that was knocked out.
Into the reserves
into
situation.
Into the reserves, into the alternates. And I see that he's got in. So you never know. Strange things can happen.
Do you remember Michael
day.
Campbell playing yes. with Steve Webster at Walton Heath? Campbell gets in.
And wins.
2005 at Pinehurst.
Robert Lee, you were on the ball.
Yeah, and the rough then was... It was really juicy. I'm just looking forward to seeing how they've put it back to how it was with the sort of sandy scrub and stuff.
You will call me, won't you?
I will be calling you daily, yes.
Let me know what's going on.
So that's it. We've got our tips. So I've technically gone for Rory McIlroy and Lee Westwood, and you've gone for...
The whole field,
half
looks
the
like
field,
to me.
I remember,
I've gone for McIlroy, Ian Poulter and Jordan Spieth in the tie for second.
And Matt went for Kuchar, Donald and McIlroy for the win. There we are. That's it for now. Join us again next week for a comprehensive review of the United States Open. It should be a fascinating watch. From me, Robert Lee, it's goodbye, and from Richard Boxall over there...
Bye.
Goodbye.